if we want to come into the presence of God, that we have to work on our conduct, our character, and our conversation. Let me say this before I move on. Sometimes God puts people in our lives because we're not going to do it. You're not going to do it. And God puts people in your life to work on your character, your conduct, and your conversation. And sometimes we want to get away from me.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will conclude his message titled, An Entrance Fit for a King. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of An Entrance Fit for a King.
From the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. God has given the worshiper in these verses, you and me, three things to do. If we want to come into his presence, notice he said, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? The hill of the Lord was Mount Zion. It was the place where God resided. It was the place where people came to worship God. Who shall ascend? Who shall be able to stand in the presence of the Lord? Sister Catherine Boston read Psalm 15 this morning at the beginning of service, and a similar invitation was given there, the same one as we see here. But saints, this majestic God, this creator God, this God who owns the earth, invites you, come into my presence. What? The creator? The owner? The owner of the earth invites us? Come. Come into my presence. But let me tell you, there's three things that I'm looking at when you come. And they are conduct, character, and conversation. Conduct, character, and conversation. First of all, notice what he says. If you want to come into my presence, your conduct has to be right. He says, for you have clean hands. That refers to your conduct. You see, you can wash your hands clean and still go out and do foolishness. You can go get some soap and water and wash your hands and say, my hands are clean, but you go out and do the wrong thing. I remember I was talking to a guy one time. He was talking about how that they used to rob people in New York City. And he said, before we got ready to rob somebody, we would pray and ask the Lord to be with us. And then after they robbed somebody, they would go ask the Lord for forgiveness. So now look at this. You're praying. You're asking God to wash away your sin, but your conduct hasn't changed. How many people, now that brother, he was extreme. But how many of us that we go out and we do something and we say, well, I'll just go confess it to God. It'll be all right. I'll just go ask God for forgiveness. Well, we're no different than him. As shocked as you were at what he did, and I know people that do that. You know people that do that. And I hope that you're not a person that does that. That you say, well, thank God that we have forgiveness. And, you know, whatever we do, we can just go to God and confess it, and he'll forgive us for it. No. Clean hands. That means not only just you wash your hands. It means you wash your conduct. And that you do the right things. That you just don't go out and do any old thing. that if you want to come into the presence of a holy God, that your life ought to match up with your worship. Your conduct. Your character. He says here, he who hath, in verse 4, clean hands and a pure heart, my, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity. You know, I asked myself, well, what does that mean? So I put the definition of it in your notes. Character, a pure heart, hath not lifted up his soul to vanity. That means desired worthless things in your soul, and then you pursue them outwardly. That's your character. That's who you are. What are your desires? What do you desire? You know, do you desire immoral relationships? You just think of, and it doesn't shock me. It doesn't surprise me anymore to read about God's people who are involved in all type of immoral relationships. And it's relationships that they desire, that they want. And the psalmist says here, notice where he said, first he talked about your action, your hands. Clean your hands and walk in the right places. Be in the right places. But notice what he says here, who hath not lifted up his what? Soul. His soul unto vanity. Your soul is who you are. Your soul is not your body. He already dealt with that when he said your hands. Now he's coming to the real you. He's coming to your real character. What do you desire? What a pure heart. That if your heart is pure, then your soul is not going to be lifted up to vanity. What do you desire? Yo, ask that question. What do you desire the most? That when you wake up in the morning, what is the desire of your heart? As you go throughout the day, what is the desire of your heart? Sad to say that we desire all kinds of things. Psalm 42, as the deer pants after the water brooks, so my soul pants after thee, O God. Do you desire God? Do you thirst for God? He says, who hath not lifted up his soul to vanity. He dealt with the conduct. He dealt with the character. And now he deals with the conversation. Nor sworn deceitfully. And that is to lie and deceive with your tongue. A clean heart and clean hands will produce a clean conversation. So think about the words over the last 24 hours, 48 hours, the last week that have come out of your mouth. Have they been reflective of a person who has been in the presence of God? Truly, if you have been in God's presence, it's going to be reflected in your conversation. You know, I find that personally, and I'll be honest, that when I don't spend time with God, this is a hard confession to make. I have a very difficult time wanting to talk about Him because my heart seems so far away. It seems like there's no closeness, there's no nearness to me and God, and therefore His conversation or conversation about Him is not resting on my lips. And so, if we want to come into the presence of God, that we have to work on our conduct, our character, and our conversation. And let me say this before I move on. Sometimes, God puts people in our lives because we're not going to do it. You're not going to do it. And God puts people in your life to work on your character, your conduct, and your conversation. And sometimes we want to get away from me. And we don't realize that person is there. As much as they aggravate us, as much as they get under our skin, as much as they bug us, that God has put that person there to work with your character, your conduct, and your conversation. He's trying to get some of us to discipline our tongue. And so he's going to put a bunch of crazy people around us who are going to be saying all kind of stupid stuff. And God is just going to be calling you to discipline your tongue. You know, Proverbs says there's a time to answer a fool and there's a time to answer not a fool. And too often we are ready to jump on answering, a fool. We're ready to talk and we're ready to speak, but sometimes God is just trying to teach us patience. Discipline your tongue. I was working on something last night, and I had to pick up a prescription from the pharmacy. And it was late last night. And my wife said, well, if you call, you can see if it's ready. So I called, and the people didn't answer right away. And then they answered, and they put me on hold. And I was on hold for about 5 minutes. So I hung up. I called back again. This time, nobody answered. And it clicked off again and said, if you'll dial this number, you'll get back, and basically what it was saying, you'll get back to where you were before. Right? So it was late. It was after 10 o'clock. They told me it was going to be ready after 10. So I go to the pharmacy and get in line, and they said, I said, my name is William Glaze, came to pick up my prescription. And they said, it's not ready yet. You know what? God was using them to work on my character. God was using them to work on my conduct. God was using them to work on my conversation. Saints, God wants you to come into his presence. God wants you to worship him. And he puts people in our lives so that we might be strengthened in those three areas. But look at what happens. Look at the blessing of what happens when our character and our conversation and our conduct is right. Look what it says in verse 5. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and the righteousness of the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them who seek him, who seek his face. You know what God is saying? He's saying there's a whole generation, there's a whole group of people who are walking together in their character, in their conduct, and in their conversation. A whole generation of people. And the generation of people who do that shall receive the blessing from the Lord. Do you want to receive the blessing from the Lord? Then follow what this psalm says. When we do this, we will be blessed. I like it. If you'll turn to Psalm 133 real quick. And then I'm moving on. I know it's been a powerful day in the house of the Lord. Psalm 133. And it's talking about brethren dwelling together in unity. And look at verse 3, the very last phrase, the very last sentence. It says, there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life evermore. That when you line up with God's plans, when you line up with God's purposes, guess what? God has blessings in heaven. And whenever you line up, God says, financial blessing, go down there. Healing, go down there. Relationships restored, go down there. That the blessings of God, it says that he commands his blessings where he sees his people lining up in character, conduct, and conversation. Wow. Are you being blessed? Are you seeing the blessings of the Lord come upon your life? Maybe something is out of character. So we see the work of the worshiper. And then let me close with this. As we consider this last part, and that is the reception of royalty. The reception of royalty. We see that there is a call to the gates and the doors to be lifted up. Now, what were the gates? The gates were the entrance, the things that blocked the entrance into the city. And so it's saying to open up the gates or lift up your heads, that the heads would be the top of the gates. And I asked the question, why? How come he just doesn't say lift up the gates? But how come he says lift up ye heads, oh ye gates? Why put that heads in there? Well, again, the heads were the top of the gates. And so what he's saying, that we want the gates fully open from the top to the bottom, because whoever's coming through these gates, we don't want to have to see them do. Who's ever coming through these gates is going to come in with their chest poked out and their head raised high. And so we want the gates to be lifted up. And be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, you ancient doors. And notice what it says, the King of glory shall come in. Now, this is powerful. If you go to that next slide, what we have here is what's called the antiphonal call of the worshipers. That the first set of worshipers, they come to the gates and they say, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. So now they're standing there. They've made the proclamation. And somebody on the inside says, who is the King of glory? If somebody knocks at your door, what's the first thing you say? Who is it? Or, who is it? What? And if you got good sense, you don't know them, they don't get in. Right? You know, I can go up to my living room and look down and see who's down there. I don't know you. You ain't getting in here, right? So the King of glory is standing at the gate, and somebody on the inside says, who is the King of glory? And the first set of worshipers on the outside, they say, the Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord, mighty in battle. Now, go to the next slide. They say the same thing again. So somebody said, well, maybe the people on the inside didn't open the gate. And so they had to say it again. But let me tell you something about the Bible. Oftentimes in the Bible, things are repeated. Jesus would say, verily, verily, I say unto you. And so why did he say verily again when it was good enough the first time? For emphasis. He was trying to emphasize the importance of what was going on. And so this antiphonal worship repeats again. Not for the king, but for you and for me. To let us know how important it is for the king to come in. And so they say again, lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. And so the people inside, again, what do they say? Who is the King of glory? And the first set says, the Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. And just think. Look at the power of the king who's standing at the door. It's just not some earthly king who came back from a battle, but it's the great, glorious king who resides in heaven. Notice what it says if you look at your notes, and I'll close out with this. The king of glory is none other than Yahweh. Notice what it says here in these verses. It says, verse 8, the Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Verse 10, the Lord of hosts. Well, guess what word Lord is there in Hebrew? It's Yahweh. When Moses was at the burning bush, and God commissioned him to go to the Israelites, and Moses said, who shall I say sent me? And God said, tell him Yahweh sent you. I am who I am. The self-existent one, the almighty God, he was the one that was standing at the gates and knocking. The almighty. He stands at the gates of your heart. Praise God. Talking to some of the people that teach discipleship class this morning. And they said somebody in the discipleship class gave their heart to Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. The King of glory, Yahweh, was knocking on the door of the heart. Open up and let him in. He knocks at your heart every day. Yahweh, the self-existent one. The one who needs nobody else to exist. He knocks on the door of your heart every day. Do you let him in? Do you let him come into your life? Do you invite him when you wake up in the morning as the first thing that you say, God of the universe, Yahweh, the self-existent one, I invite you into my heart today to walk with me. Now, I know you're already saved, but this is a special invitation on top of your salvation. Will you ask God to come in and walk with you every day? And when we ask him to come in, look who we have walking with us. In the notes, the Lord, strong and mighty. He is the strong and victorious warrior. The Lord, mighty in battle. He is the champion in the battle. The Lord of hosts. The Lord of armies. He is the supreme leader over the heavenly army. I guess they must be trying to tell me something. They turned off my mic. That's all right. That's all right. I don't need a stinking mic. So as we close this morning, two things. If you keep your life clean, first of all, he will come in and abide with you. Secondly, he will fight your battles for you. The King of Glory. Notice what the title was: an entrance fit for a king. An entrance fit for a king. Is your life an entrance fit for a king?
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Those Who Will Not Bend Will Break. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, An Entrance Fit for a King, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request An Entrance Fit for a King. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request An Entrance Fit for a King, or call us at 877-831-5060. Today's teaching is part of a larger series of messages from the Book of Psalms. You can request the entire 24-part series from our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or by calling 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 5 books. For more information about these resources and how to order them, visit anchoredinjesus.org. or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.